Welcome to the Light of the World. This is Jerry G. Martin. We are coming up on the most holiest of days that is celebrated by Christian believers. It is the time that we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're going to present you a series of messages that will help you to understand what Jesus Christ did, but more importantly, why he did it. It was to offer sinful people eternal life. I want you to listen closely and even contact someone in your family who needs to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. At the end of today's message, we're going to share an opportunity for you or anyone you know to come to know Jesus. Come and go with us as we walk in the light of God's Word.
Here you have a holy God and an unholy man, and God had a plan to fix it, as he knew from the beginning that the human race would be vulnerable. He already knew that, and he already had a plan for that. And God said to the serpent, in effect, you have won this round, but you have not won the fight. Genesis 3:14. So the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. And he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. But he's going to crush your head. So with these three words, the Lord Jesus ended his work on the cross and his suffering on Calvary by proclaiming, it is finished. I have crushed his head. And that's why Paul says, the power now of sin has been broken so that you do not have to serve that sinful nature. You are no longer bound to serve that sinful nature. When Jesus Christ came into your life, he broke the power of sin, and you are no longer a slave to sin. Now notice he said, it is finished. He did not say, I am finished. It's finished. What? The work that I have come. It meant that his redemptive work was accomplished. He had been made sin for people and had suffered the penalty of God's justice, which he deserved, which sin deserved. God's justice deserved that sin will be penalized. For the wages of sin is death. Theologian Warren Wiersbe said, perhaps the most meaningful meaning of this Greek word here for it is finished, that phrase, it means the debt is paid in full. The debt, that's what that meant. When he said it's finished, it meant it has been paid in full. They owe nothing else. So the completion of this act of redemption provides for us some glorious benefits. And I just want to mention what that provided for us. Number one, it provided the atonement for sin. The atonement. None of the Old Testament sacrifices could take away the sin. Their blood only covered it, but it couldn't take it away. Jesus came and took away the sin. John looked at him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, shed his blood. That blood can take away the sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So it was that atonement. And when you read the Old Testament, the Day of Atonement, that is coming back one with God. That word atonement, if you look at it, it's at one meant, being at one with God again. So he brought us back at one with God. And that death also, Jesus' death also conquered sin and death. He conquered death. First John chapter 1 verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. It cleanses us and purifies us, and we don't have to worry about death anymore, because we're not going to have the second death, because we died the first death. We died to sin when we came to Jesus Christ. We died. That's why we have this act of baptism. That's that symbolism that shows that we are buried with Christ again, symbolically, and we are brought up as a new creation in Christ Jesus. Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, if you have been risen with Christ, and when he rose, we rose. When he got up, we got up with him. Kenneth Weist said in his commentary, and he said this, while we are having this fellowship with him, the blood of Jesus, his son, keeps constantly cleansing us from sins of omission, sins of ignorance, sins we know nothing about in our lives for the reason that we have not grown in grace enough to see that they are sins. These would prevent our fellowship with God if this divine provision of the constant cleansing away of the defilement of sin in our lives was not taken care of by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So holy is the God in whom we have this fellowship. So what's the difference between a believer and a sinner? And I know that some people, well, even though they're saved, they'll get up and say, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Well, I don't say I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm a saint saved by grace. Because Paul said we are saints. And this shed blood that keeps cleansing us, he says, from all sins, he keeps cleansing us, and we are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. He cleansed us, so we're no longer a sinner. We might be a saint who sinned from time to time, but we're not a sinner. That's not who we are. In fact, we should be sinless. Somebody said, we're not sinless, but we ought to be sinning less. And less. And less. You see, because he's already paid for us. He's already redeemed us. The price has been paid in full. And his blood covers us. And that's why he said, if you confess your sin, you can. He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He's talking to believers. Hebrews says this in Hebrews 9:14. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our conscience from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve a living God. Sin should have no control over us. See, the enemy is the accuser of the brethren. That's why Paul said, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are where? In Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit brings conviction. The devil brings condemnation. He wants to condemn you, tell you, you can't, look at you, look at what you've done, look at what you said, you can't live holy. That's condemnation. Conviction says, listen, get that right with God and keep on going. We see the extent of Christ's humiliation in his death. He, the Son of God, who humbled himself to come down. He didn't have to. He humbled himself. And I can just imagine what he might have been thinking. And I can I give him lots of credit for taking what he took when he didn't have to. That's like you being the strongest, the baddest person on the world, and somebody, the little midgets and everybody come whooping up on you, and you just stand there and take it. They spitting on you, they hitting you, they talking about you, they criticizing you and everything else, and you just taking it. And you know, he says, I can call legions of angels to come and get me out of this, but this is what I'm going to take, because the Bible says in Hebrews, for he looked through the cross to see our redemption. And he says, I'm not going to forsake my assignment, because I see through the cross. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Jesus Christ in his death purposed to die as a substitute for everyone. It's not only by the Son tasting death as a man for a man that we are free from death. He substituted his own death for ours to release us to live with God. So Jesus' death calls reconciliation to God. That means to return, to favor with, to receive one, to put things back in order. When you reconcile, you're checking things out to be sure everything lines up. If you ever reconcile your checking account, you know you're starting. Some people, y'all don't do that. Y'all just look and see what you got left in the bank and keep on going. But we reconcile ours. I want to see what's on the statement and see what we actually have and see and check every penny and get it down to where everything reconciles. And then when you click that software to say you reconcile, it says you've reconciled. Congratulations, you've got it down to the penny. That means you brought everything into an alignment with what's supposed to have been happening. That the statement that they've sent you from the bank aligns with what you said you sent, you spent. And the Lord came and said, let me reconcile these people to what was supposed to be happening. They're supposed to be coming back to God. And I'm coming back to reconcile and be sure everything is taken care of so that they can be put back where they belong and they can be reconciled to Christ. Amen. He reconciled us to God. Paul said this in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Since we now have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? And not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. You know, now these are Paul making a legal argument and giving us the system and the protocol and all of the things that happened to us. So these are not shouting words. But if you understand this, you'll have a peace in your heart and an understanding in your heart, because what the enemy will always do, he'll come back and make you think you don't have nothing. And when you're going through trouble, he make you think God loves you, nobody loves you, and all this. If you don't know anything else, you ought to know I've been reconciled. I've been brought into an alignment. I am saved. Jesus Christ came to save me. And if the worst thing that could ever happen to me in my life is I die and go to heaven. So don't let the enemy just beat you up about what you don't have. Say, you know, I got reconciliation. I should have the joy of the Lord. So John carefully shows us that scripture is being fulfilled through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. There are chapters in the Old Testament which are especially concerned with the crucifixion, and they talk about it. There are 28 prophecies fulfilled while he was hanging on the cross. Our thirst is one of them. That's the fulfillment of Psalm 69:21. Jesus said, "It is finished." What was finished? Your redemption. It's done. That's why you don't have to do any work for salvation. In his report to his father, Jesus said in John 17:4, "I have finished the work which you gave me to do." Once there was an evangelist who was approached by a young man who said, "What must I do to be saved?" The evangelist says, "It's too late." The young man was alarmed. "What do you mean it's too late? I can't be saved? Is there anything I can do?" The evangelist says, "No, it's too late. Jesus did everything already. All you have to do is believe." So people ask, "What must I do to be saved?" You don't have to go and do something. Just believe. Jesus did all the work. That's why he said the work is finished. The hard part's done. The tough part's done. You know, he conquered death, he conquered the grave, he conquered the enemy. I've done all that it needs to do. All you need to do is look up and live. He came to take care of some kingdom business. That's why he came. And he understood that. And you read the scriptures about Jesus. There were the crowds would try to pull him in one way. The disciples would try to pull him in another way. But he kept focused on what he came to do. He says, no, I didn't come. My kingdom is not of this world. They wanted him to take over. Hey, Lord, when are we going to take over? That's what I would do too. If I'm walking around with Jesus, I see him walking on water. I see him turning water to wine. I see him raising the dead, healing the sick. Hey, when are we going to take over? I'm with him. I'm one of his boys. That's why they were walking around trying to think, well, who's going to sit at the right hand? And arguing about who's going to be right there close to him and who's going to be his right hand man. Jesus said, no, you all don't have a good understanding. This is my kingdom is not of this world. The scripture said, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest to destroy the works of the evil one. God sent his only begotten Son that whoever would believe on him doesn't have to go to hell, doesn't have to perish, but shall have eternal life. Jesus did many great things, but he knew exactly what his assignment was. When he turned water to the wine, back at that first wedding, he turned water to wine. That was to accommodate it. That was to accommodate the wedding guests, but he didn't say, it is finished. When he fed 5,000, he did not say, it is finished. When he healed the woman with the issue of blood, he did not say, it is finished. When he raised Jairus' daughter, he didn't say, it's finished. When he opened blind Bartimaeus' eyes, he didn't say, it is finished. When he healed the man at the pool of Bethesda that was sick for 38 years, he didn't say, it's finished. When he cast the demons out of the demon-possessed man, he didn't say, it's finished. When he walked on the water, he didn't say, it's finished. When he calmed the storm, he didn't say, it's finished. But when he went to the cross and he gave his life, when he stayed there and bought our salvation and poured out his life, he said, it is finished. See, because it was finished, in August of 1983, a sinner who had a name just like mine was able to dip into that blood that was still flowing from Calvary and ask the Lord to come into his life and change his life. And the power of the salvation power of God was still working on that day in August of 1983. That saved that young man and cleansed his life and turned him around. And if you're saved, you have a similar story. Wherever you were, when you came to that crossroad and you came to that cross and you said, Lord, I need change in my life. That blood that Andre Crouch wrote about, this that blood that was able to cleanse, is still flowing from Calvary. It flows. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. That blood that gives you strength from day to day has never lost its power. And that's why we're here today. If it wasn't for the sacrifice and the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we wouldn't be sitting here. We wouldn't be participating. We wouldn't be connecting. We wouldn't be giving our life, our time, our talent, our resources to the work of the Lord. Never forget what Jesus did when he said, it is finished. Will you stand on your feet? I want you just to take a moment. If you're here today and you're not quite sure about where you stand with the Lord in that reconciliation moment, here's a good time to say, Lord, I want to accept right now what you have done for me. And if you're here today and you say, I need to make that acceptance, I just want you to lift your hand right where you are and say, I want to accept what Christ has done for me. I've never really made that exception. But if you're here and you are saved, let's not diminish the importance of what Christ has already done for us. We can become complacent in our own salvation. We're going to take this moment right now to say, Lord, we thank you for finishing your work that bought my salvation. God, we thank you, we praise you, and we bless you. Hallelujah. And nobody can take it away. Hallelujah. You purchased my salvation with your own blood. I thank you, Almighty God. Oh, you didn't wait until I got myself together. You took me just like I was, weary, wounded, and sad. Father, but you took me and you cleansed me. You picked me up out of a horrible pit. You established my going. You put my foot on a solid rock. And for that, I thank you. I praise you. I bless you. I never will forget what you have done for me. We're your people tonight, and we're called by your name. We thank you, Almighty God. We praise you, Mighty God. We thank you for the blood that flows, that still have the power to heal, the power to deliver, the power to set free. We thank you, Almighty God, for what you have done. You are good. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that you finished. You didn't have to come back and for a do-over. You knew exactly what it took. We are the recipient of what you did on that day. When nothing else could help, your love lifted us. We were sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters he lifted me. Now safe am I. I thank you, Almighty God. I'm not going to let the enemy make me feel like I don't have nothing, because you've already given me everything you've got. I dare you to stand firm on what Christ has already done. If you have a need in your life, you have a prayer request, if you need healing in your body, just begin to say, I receive the finished work of his healing power. Right now, come on, I receive the finished work of his healing power. Right now, as we praise him. You know, I was just thinking the other day that the Lord healed my body, and he healed me while I was in a worship service. Hallelujah. I had my hands lifted up just thanking him and praising him. I wasn't even thinking about it. Just like he said, I'm going to heal you right now. Somebody needs some joy, just begin to receive it. Hallelujah. The psalmist says if you need some joy, you might have to leap for your joy. Begin to leap for joy. Praise the name of God. If you're going through something, say he finished it for me. We got to start walking in what he's already done. Glory to God. You know, the Bible says on the seventh day, God rested. You know why he rested? Because it was finished.
This is Jerry G. Martin, and we brought you a message today to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we are coming toward our Good Friday and Easter celebration, our Resurrection Sunday, I think it is so vital that we share the message of the grace and the goodness, the redemption and the forgiveness that Jesus Christ brings to every person. I don't know who you are, and I don't know where you are, and I don't know where you are in your walk with the Lord. I want to give you an opportunity, if you do not know him as your Lord and Savior, to make a decision right now. It was Jesus who said, I don't come for those who are. He came to seek and to save those who are lost. If you are lost and you feel hopeless or helpless or disconnected in your spiritual life, today is a great opportunity for you just to turn to Christ and invite him into your heart, invite him into your life, and he will come in with his divine power and his spirit, and he will do for you what he's done for me and so many others. He will turn your life around. If you would like us to join you and pray with you and help you to get connected, call us right now at 281-964-1393 and say, I made a decision for Christ. I need to get connected. so I can continue to grow. Again, that's 281-964-1393. Jesus Christ came to give you everlasting life, and we will walk that journey out with you. Be sure to call us and then join us for our Easter Sunday service at 10 a.m. at 16161 Old Humble Road or online at lowcf.org. Now for the light of the world, this is Jerry G. Martin saying, may the Lord our God richly bless you, and we'll be with you again next time.